The news segment of Better on Draft is recorded around 8 p.m. Eastern Fridays, right after our interview segment. You can listen to us live, 7 p.m. Eastern is when we actually start, at betteronDraft.tv or facebook.com/betteronDraft. Big thank you to our sponsors who allow us to do this. Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. Don't forget to check out the Downtown Drinking District and find out some delicious North Center beer there, as well as Baffin Brewing over in St. Clair Shores, one of our newer sponsors, and PCI Brandcraft. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Instagram and Facebook. Go check them out. Anything you want to throw your logo on, whether it's a shirt, a hat, a glass, a mouse pad, anything, that's what they cover for you. Don't forget to find all of our social medias. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now TikTok. Join us, Better on Draft, and of course, find out what we were drinking by friending us on Untappd. That's BOD Podcast, BODPODCAST. Welcome, everybody, to the news segment. November 5th, 2021. Easy day to remember, the 5th of November. It is the day that Downey opened 5 years ago. That's what I remember about the 5th of November.
Nothing about some guy?
No, that's Fox News.
Okay, gotcha.
See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
I felt like that was a pretty good response.
I like it.
Guys, as I mentioned during our interview with Mark from Summit Beer, the Lions are still totally defeated. Therefore, I am still staying sober. I am finishing this second can of Well-Being. I had the IPA, the Intentional IPA, and the Hellraiser Dark Amber. I'm going to be working on the Groovy Stout and the Athletic Oktoberfest. I want to see what you guys are drinking, starting with Wendy.
So I took pictures, since I don't have my glasses on me, and that the beer that I am drinking from Weldworks is Casey Brewing and Cerebral with, it's the Secret Diversions. The triple IPA brewed with Citra, Nelson Sauvin, I don't know how to say that.
Sauvin.
And Nectarine hops. It is delicious. It's honestly one of my favorite beers that I had when I was there. I am also still finishing the Wiley Roots PB&B King. It is definitely the best peanut butter banana beer I have ever had. It is so good. I don't even know how to describe it. But those were some pretty high ABVs, so I'm still working on those.
Wiley Roots is one brewery.
Rob, what's those high ABVs you're drinking right now?
Well, I would just say just real quick that Wiley Roots is one brewery that is not to be slept on, and people need to figure out how to get their beers because it's.
Do they not distribute to you? Because they're all over the place out this way.
No. The only time I actually got Wiley Roots was, I believe, through Tavor when they were here.
Yeah, they do not. And I actually talked to them about that while I was there, because I'm trying to figure out how to get it here, because everything we tried was fucking top notch.
Yeah, their stuff is good. I am still finishing the peanut butter marshmallow gorilla juice. So I have a little bit of that.
Worst name beer ever.
Pretty much. I have this sucker here, which I will reveal once after the music plays.
Oh boy.
Dan, are you pulling on? Part-time duty by double fisting?
No, I just got one for the news. I actually found a milkshake stout in my closet, so I'm going to drink that.
Must have been from one of the random times I sent you beer.
It is. It was a choice between the Imperial and the regular, so I grabbed the regular.
Nice. I mentioned what I'm drinking, so I guess that means we're going into...
Here is Robert with the beer news.
If I hit the button again, he'll do another chug.
Let's see. Try it. Get ready, Rob.
Rob, what were you drinking?
So in honor of Dan, because you know his styles that he absolutely loves, I was drinking a Flying Buffalo Screaming Pumpkin Stout.
Oh, Jesus. You had me until you said Screaming Pumpkin. What the hell?
Shout out to the Siren of Stout, Barb Baker. For her collaboration making this beer, simple 12% barrel aged pumpkin stout. Pretty damn good.
I would have chugged it too just to get rid of it.
Oh, come on. Well, all right. Yeah, you don't like pumpkin. I understand. That's okay. That's okay.
Moving. Rob, what's going on in the news?
Send you a Four Loko for this new segment next time.
Don't get Matt Bush involved. All right. So a couple articles that I kind of wanted to go through. This is kind of a, I don't know, I guess pretty much looking for opinion and maybe if whether or not, you know, this type of stuff even matters, if it's just sensationalism or if there's actually something that's kind of cool about it. So starting out with Sam Adams, and Sam Adams has put out a new beer or is in the process of putting out a new beer called Spacecraft IPA, which the main draw with this beer, it features hops that essentially went into space. It was aboard the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft and flew 360 miles high above the Earth. So these hops were put in the spacecraft, thrown up there and brought back down, and were now used to help brew this beer. That's pretty much kind of the gist of it. They threw this stuff in here and made a beer, and is kind of going off of, I guess, in my opinion, kind of, you know, going off the sensationalism of the fact that these hops were put into space. So I kind of want to start with Dan on this one. It's like,
I want to add one more thing, because I think you mentioned a huge part.
Okay.
And that is Sam Adams donated $100,000 to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, including a goal to raise $200 million, with Elon Musk contributing $50 million upon the return of the hops.
That's it?
Okay, so that actually answered half my question. I was going to ask, was this an Elon Musk idea? Because, you know, God bless the guy, I drive a Tesla, but why are we shooting hops into space to bring them back down? Like, what are we doing?
To raise money for the children.
We could have raised money without spending that money. I mean, if they were grown in space, that'd be a whole different story. That'd be a great idea. Like, hey, figure out what...
The children.
Like, find a way to grow hops in space. Let's go for it. But why do we have to, they shot these hops into space. Now we'll donate money. Why wouldn't you donate money before that? Like, honestly, like, come on.
I don't know what to
be honest, you. They probably would have.
Like, does this do hops change? Do we know? Do they change when they're in zero gravity? Like, does it change the flavor profile? Anything?
I wouldn't think so, because I mean, they just kind of like went up there and came back. Well, they spent 2 days there.
Well, yeah, it was like 2 days, 23 hours and 3 minutes.
Elon might need to focus on not having to have people shit their pants in space and sending hops up right now.
There's always that thing where I think it was that, you know, people who are in space for prolonged periods of time. I may be getting this like completely off, but I thought that there was something where like if people are in space for prolonged periods of time that they tend to lose bone density or bone mass or something to that effect.
No, that is true. I'm referring to his toilets don't work on the Dragon X capsule that right, they just figured out.
I guess I'm trying to equate that to the hops. Like, what does something happen to the hops?
Oh,
in 3 days of being in space, that
probably not. That's the
thing. I guess you'll have to try it and find out.
Yeah, I guess. Can we get some of these beers? Where do they sell them at?
2233.
I mean, it's an IPA. Am I really going to know the difference?
It's a West Coast IPA. But
Sweetwater does that elevated beer on the Delta flights that you can only get it in the air. They don't sell it on land at all. It's only sold on airplanes because it tastes different at that altitude. So maybe it does. I don't know. I'm a sucker for a gimmick, so I would totally try it.
You can't
drink
beer. You can't try the beer on the, you know, sea level. So you can't, they could just be telling you.
Yeah, I'm calling different. Shenanigans on that one.
That's the gimmick right there. They got the hook, line, and sinker, Wendy. This beer.
I told you I'm a sucker for a gimmick,
this beer,
man.
Tastes a lot different when it's not on a cruise ship. So you could only get it on a cruise ship.
Well, that I wouldn't buy.
It's just a way to sell a $10 beer.
Well,
that's
not true. I probably buy it anyway. It's just
worth 99 cents.
I mean, it's something, and it just I don't know, the charitable donation side of it is pretty cool with giving money to St. Jude. It's just for me and having a set of hops that just get thrown into space and then put into a beer. I mean, I guess I kind of feel like if you want to impress me, it's kind of like with what Dan is saying. You know what? Grow them hops on Mars and bring them back.
Yeah, grow them on the space station, anything. That's different.
Of course, something like that, we probably wouldn't see that beer until, you know, 2075. And at that point, I'm already going to be like 350. So yeah. I'm not going to have time to try that with myself anyway. But, I mean, it would be something like, you know, grow it on a different planet, grow it on the moon, do it on the International Space Station. You're already, you know, have stuff up there for facilities to, you know, I thought that you had to be able to grow something up there, you know, throw it on the ISS, grow some hops. It's going to take like 3 years, but ISS has been up there for long enough. Grow some hops and bring them down. just an option. But there was another one that was out here where it was a beer that was brewed that you can only get on the 86th floor of the Empire State Building.
Because it tastes different on the 85th floor. Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah. If you go down one floor, no, don't do it.
Again, sucker ruined for a gimmick. I'm going to New York now.
Already there's your gimmick. So introduced this week, a beer called View from the Top. A view from the top of the Empire State Building. It's a hazy IPA, so Ken's already out. and it is essentially, as I said, it is apparently only sold on the 86th floor. It was brewed in collaboration with Brooklyn's Five Boroughs Brewing. And, you know, there it is. And a hazy IPA that's sitting on the Empire State Building. You know, it almost seems like with like seeing two articles like this, where it's just like, here's some hops from space. Here's a beer that you can only get at the top, basically at the top of the Empire State Building. We haven't run out of crazy ingredients to put things in beer.
I'm now curious.
Beer into circus acts?
Who goes up to the 86th floor of the Empire State Building to like drink beer? Is that like a priority, or is that so like, hey, let's go up there?
Well, I mean, that's the observatory floor. So
is that like where is that like a hot spot to go like pound beers? And
did I not state my case earlier?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, if there was something that was going on in Chicago that was at the Willis Tower and you were at the observatory deck and suddenly, you know, oh, we just came out with this this Willis IPA or you know, Chi-Town Saison or something that's basically done only on the observatory deck. I mean, what I guess, you know, with people who get souvenirs from things that are like that from the Willis Tower or the Empire State Building or whatever attraction that you go to, I guess, why not have something that's going to be an attraction? It's going to be an attraction to beer where you're going to a place where, you know, you get to have something that not everybody gets to try.
So two things. One, I didn't find the prices for that, but I did find a Oktoberfest pop-up that they did on the 86th floor where a 12 ounce can was $9 and the 16 ounce cans were $12 to $14 for the beer. My thing is that would I be able to like drink a little for me and then pour some out at the top and try to hit, you know, like a friend down below for my, like one for me, one for them. Just kind of, you know, what if they can't make it up there? Yeah. What if they can't make it up there and they want to try it? They can't, you know, I got to pour it down. See
how you got to adjust the wind.
I had too many gimmicks.
Have you not seen those videos of people trying to drop a basketball into a net from the top of the Hoover Dam?
I have seen those
people
like,
ideas.
Those Dude Perfect videos, but no, yeah. I mean, it's just gimmicks a gimmick. I'm surprised we don't have like a Hamilton beer.
That's true.
Like, where's Lin-Manuel with like a beer from like Puerto Rico bringing in Like,
he that's true.
He's you want to talk about gimmicks, but a gimmick that would literally sell out in a minute is if you just
Buy that in a heartbeat.
Made a
let's be
Alexander Hamilton. Have one where they're mystery six packs, and you either get Hamilton or you either get Burr, and you have to keep buying the mystery six packs to find them. But it's
awesome.
It's like five Hamilton six packs for every one Burr six pack. So you have to buy like six packs just for.
No, it'd have to be the opposite way because.
Oh yeah, because I mean, you would want the special Hamilton one. I guess that makes sense. What am I doing? I need to go talk to Lynn. Him and I are good buddies.
Right. Wait, what?
Yeah, we're like this, son. All right.
Rob, what else we got?
Last one I wanted to kind of go over, at least the last one that I found today. And today, I mean, like 5 minutes ago, there was an article on Brewbound about can maker Ball, which, you know, makes pretty much, we'll kind of say, like all the cans that are used in beer. They are exploring the possibility of price increases. Obviously, again, with them, you know, they are the world's largest manufacturer of aluminum cans, you know, not only from beer, but to also providing cans to the likes of Coca-Cola and Pepsi, you know, 7-Up. I don't even think 7-Up doesn't. No, 7-Up is in cans. But anyway, get the idea. They got a lot of cans that they put out there. And, you know, they had kind of mentioned that, you know, during the third quarter, they began absorbing the impact of the global supply chain hardship clauses being triggered by some of their suppliers for the first time in decades, while also weathering the impact of indirect supply chain disruptions for certain materials, dunnage, freight, and transportation at their customers' locations. And, you know, that they have these existing mechanisms in their contracts to help recoup certain costs and are confident in their ability to recoup such costs over time, but they're not sufficient in the current environment. And it's putting it into an area where they have to go into this cost recovery, where they essentially have to look at other options to, you know, bring in revenue to essentially, you know, keep their employee base. And I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily stay alive, but to stay at where they currently are. So they're looking at it in three different ways. It's either negotiating with customers who have long-term contracts, redrawing shorter-term contracts as they expire, or including increases in their open contracts. And, you know, they're trying to find a way to make things work. But when you hear something like Ball is exploring price increases, that in turn tends to turn on this neuron where you think that, well, if they're going to do increases, then we're going to see increases on the back end when breweries start putting out this beer in cans. And when beer goes up, then there is also this tendency that people get upset that they're now paying more for beer and sometimes not understanding where the cost comes from. So I guess my question to you guys is that, you know, if these increases happen, you know, do you think these are increases that we're going to see that are going to come to us as a consumer? Or do you think that there's going to be some way where it kind of stays hidden and we're kind of, you know, less the wiser of everything that's going on with the industry?
I don't think we're going to notice we're going to notice a huge increase in beer prices here in a year, the upcoming year. Are we going to notice it because of the can prices or because of the ingredient prices is the question that you should be asking, because I think we're not going to see much within the cans just because there's not that much aluminum per can, but I
aluminum, by the way,
if I could, I would mute you. You're not going to see the increase there, but you're going to see it from the ingredients. Just the ingredients and everything is going to increase so much that it's going to – everything's just going to cost more within the industry itself, the restaurant industry, that is. And I think, you know, I made a huge declaration at the beginning of COVID But unless there's going to be any type of bailout, tax breaks, anything like that for the industry in 2022, we're going to finally see the ending of not as dire as my prediction was of like half breweries closing, but restaurants themselves aren't going to be able to keep up to where people are going to decide to just close as opposed to try to weather the storm because they're not going to be able to afford to stay open. And that's because either, you know, there's Wingstop, I think right now has already changed their marketing. Just because, you know, chicken wings are so hard to get that they're selling thighs. And yep. like, those are the kinds of things to where, yes, they can adjust, but the local shop, like I saw a brewery get their Gordon Food subscription canceled, like their business subscription. And that is, they can still go shop at like a, for those of you who aren't local, Gordon Foods is like a US Foods or Sysco. It's a, restaurant food provider that allows you to get food, to sell, but they deliver, which is the big key, as well as you can order in advance. So you're not just guessing and shopping at whatever is available at Gordon Foods at that date and time. Which for those of you again who aren't local, Gordon Foods is also a grocery store that's open to the public, but they have a focus on restaurants.
Kind of a cheaper version of Costco.
Yeah.
In a way.
So we're going to see the increase in prices. We're going to see the supply chain change. And I don't know who, like, I could not tell you a reason why someone would close versus stay open, because I don't think there's a lot of, you know, whatever your food cost is now, it's going to skyrocket. And at that point, either you're going to put the money onto the customer, which a lot of customers, I mean, I would say maybe half the customers would understand. The other half would be like, why the fuck is my unlimited breadsticks and salad now limited? I don't know. There's going to be no rhyme or reason, but just expect a lot of restaurants to close and to call back. God damn, to call back to our conversation about ghost kitchens. Prepare for a lot of those to start popping up with the open space.
Wow. All right.
Someone else could take over off of that, but that was okay. My piece.
Wendy, got something?
No, I think Ken kind of said it all for all of us. I don't know necessarily that we would see the changes. We will see the changes because it is going to go up. The prices are going to go up, just like Ken said. So,
see, well, shit, I got to pay $6 for this Pilsner. I can go to Meijer and get me a Dirty 30 for that price. Why do I need to pay this much?
I can get a 25-ounce Milwaukee's Best for $1.19. What the fuck?
I can drink water too.
Yeah, well, water is more expensive than a Milwaukee's Best Tall Boy. So
especially if you get like Fiji.
That is true. And I read an article, and I know this has nothing to do with this news story, but I read an article the other day that, I'm going back to school and I'm in this nutrition class, and I read an article for that class that talked about the amount of pesticides and stuff that are in our bottled water. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I just skip the water and drink straight pesticide.
You could do that too.
Just go with the Milwaukee's Best. It's cheaper and it's got a little more flavor than your water.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's Besticide.
And you can make Kentucky Beasts with it. So, you know, you're kind of winning all across the board with that.
Right?
All right. Actually, I'm going to pass that down to Wendy. I think she had a little bit of something that she wanted to talk about.
I did. I wanted to talk about the fact that November 28th, which is coming up here the day after Thanksgiving, is Small Brewery Sunday. So I found the article on craftbeer.com, and they have a fantastic app. If you are not in Michigan, go ahead and check that one out. If you are, go to the Michigan Brewery Map app to find your local breweries, but it is a way to support your small independent breweries. They also would like to make sure that we tag them at Indie Beer on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so that we can share our hashtag Small Brewery Sunday Funtivities. I'm a huge supporter of Support Local, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that that day is coming up, because yes, Rob, there needs to be a day for everything.
There already is.
We got Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and now Small Brewery Sunday.
Hey, I'm down with that. That's a good thing.
I think we've celebrated that before.
Small Brewery Sunday?
I think it was
Small Brewery Sunday. So now that I'm thinking about it, it's called Small Brewery Sunday, but it's on November 28th, which they say is the day after Thanksgiving, which after Thanksgiving.
No, and that's the 26th.
It wasn't until you guys said it out loud. I even, wrote it out so I would have notes. And it didn't occur to me that the day after Thanksgiving is not Sunday.
No.
What would be a better way to celebrate a craft beer, an independent beer, day than to do it on Black Friday when everyone's going after Goose Island and shit, and you just cancel out all the noise by just having people throw up indie beer or whatever on Instagram.
So I'm curious now that you bring that up, because Rob brought up the point that you can find a ton of those beers out here year round, as far as the as Goose Island goes. What do people still line up to get that out where you guys are at? It's really kind of surprising if they do.
The variants, yes, but the regulars will probably sit on the shelf for a couple days.
I mean, it's a year-round thing out here, as Rob saw when he came out this way. That's why it kind of surprises me.
Just cages, just sitting there in Anaheim, just doing nothing, collecting dust, and they had everything from 2017 up.
Was it regular?
It was regular that a party store near the Airbnb we had that was selling regular, that was buy one get one half off. They also had the blueberry, the wheat wine. There were four different variants that all these stores had. They were just all over the place. It was unreal, because that does not happen here in Michigan.
It's the same thing out here. You can still find the barley wine, which I think last time was 2018 or 2019,
something like that. Yeah,
you can still find bottles of that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just talking about Goose Island, though. I have my beer fairy and I, we like to do, we call it Beer Friday instead of Black Friday, because there's quite a few breweries in Michigan that do special releases on Black Friday. Like, you can only get Pigeon Hill. There's certain stuff that they only release on that day. You can only get their mug club that day. So, and you have to go to the brewery to get it. Last year you didn't, but last year a special. So, I mean, yes, I still would line up places for certain breweries, for certain beers.
What about Bourbon County? Would you still line up for that?
So I've never lined up for Bourbon County, only because I haven't had to. But I don't know. Maybe if it was something I'd never had before, I would. Or if it was something I really, really liked.
I
really like it. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic beer. But I can go to Ohio and get it whenever I want.
I mean, I don't have Grand Rapids or Muskegon time. And for those who don't know, for those of us here who are in the metropolitan Detroit area, from here to Grand Rapids is about 2 to 2.5 hours. Muskegon, where Pigeon Hill is, as Wendy just mentioned, that's close to 3 to 3.5 hours. And I'm not going to drive out there for, I don't know if they still do the Your Mom on French Toast release on. I'm not doing that drive.
So last year was my first year that I didn't have to work the day after Thanksgiving, and I was all about going. And I don't even know that I did do that last year, which is really bad. But this year I'm planning on doing the whole trip, just because it's the first time I've been able to do it. I work in the heating and cooling industry, so I never got Black Friday off, and now I work for a much larger company, so I get holidays now. So I'm gonna live it up on my holidays.
I mean, it's a great beer. It's just, and if I were going down that way, I would try to stop at Transient as well. I probably shout out to Wes and Josh over at Oddside. I'd probably stop at Oddside on the way down. But yeah, that's, you know, making those beer trips. I love to do them, but like for Black Friday, I'm done with Turkey Day. I just want to sit my ass home.
You guys just got to be like kind of accidentally be in the front of the line for your mom on French toast just by random accident. How you really have to do it.
I was talking to Michael over at Pigeon Hill, and it just happened to be I started the line. I want to give a quick shout out because Wendy mentioned the Michigan Brewery Map app. We actually just released an update earlier this week. Folks, you can actually find festivals now, beer festivals, on the Michigan Brewery Map app with details on tickets, information, as well as statistics to find out how many breweries you have been to now. There is currently 388 open breweries, not including satellites. 388 open breweries. I want you guys to guess my number of open breweries. How many have I been to out of 388 open?
388?
Yep.
I am going to say... Oh, geez. And then, of course, I have to figure in the factor of traveling, working... previously for a POS company. I'm going to say 127.
What do you think, Wendy?
A little higher than that. Because when I met you guys, I was actually traveling to all the
prices, right?
And I'm pretty sure you were still higher than me. So I'm going to say 190.
What about you, Dan?
I feel like it's in the 200s at this point. I'm going to say 220.
Yeah, he's probably right.
It's 160.
Oh, wow. Oh. That's it?
That is it. I am a habitual repeat brewery attender.
Mind stepper.
I go to a lot of the same breweries over and over and over again. So I've probably been to like Dragon Mead like 60 times or 70 times and Baffin probably
haven't we all?
40 to 50. Like Kunin.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the thing that, of course, again, that's all including only open breweries. So closed breweries do not count. But as I go through here, there are plenty of breweries that I have missed, like Open Road, Alebird, Railtown.
Oh, that's a good one.
EB Coffee, Glass Creek, Waldorf. So there's plenty of breweries that I just have not gotten a chance to, but I'm gonna fix that. I'm gonna get out there and start seeing more. I've also only been to one brewery in the UP.
Same.
Which one?
Upper Hand.
Cold Iron.
Okay, I guess I get that.
I was in Escanaba for work once, and that's it. I haven't all my trips on in the UP for work were all off of like US 2, and it like ended at Escanaba at the like most. And when I was in Munising, they were not open yet. Like the breweries were not open yet. So
the one that I went to in Munising actually closed, and now it's a different one.
Yep, you got By George up there in East Channel, and I know all that just because I downloaded the Michigan Brewery Map app. That's going to do it for the news segment, Better on Draft. Stay tuned to listen to King of the Hill. If you are not listening live and you're listening via podcast, check out King of the Hill on our Instagram videos. It's no longer IGTV. It's just Instagram videos, I think. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Shout out to Arizona Nate. Peace.